We would like to thank Aaron Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'iloi Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, we are up to the last part of the first Mishnah in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. I have outlined for you here in the first source the first three parts which we have done. We will briefly just recap the first sentences of them and then delve into the fourth one. Ben Zoma Omer. Ben Zoma says, Ezehu Chacham, who is wise, Halomed Mikol Adam. We spoke about that 4 weeks ago. Ezehu Gibor, who is strong, Hakovesh Es Yitzro. He subdues his inclination. We spoke about that 3 weeks ago. Or 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Ezehu Ashir Asomech Bechalko, who is rich, someone who is happy with his lot. That we spoke about last week. And now finally, number four. Ezehu Mechubad, who is somebody that is honored? Hamechabed es habrios, somebody who honors his fellow human beings. Shneemar, as the pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, ki mechabdai achabed uvozai ye kalu. Those who honor me, I honor those that honor me, and I spurn those that spurn me shall be dishonored. So honor comes from honoring others. And this follows the general theme of the first three parts of the Mishnah, in that it is, at first glance, counterintuitive, right? It doesn't really make sense. We don't think about it that way, but when you think about it deeply, when you take a wise mind, a perspective, a broader perspective, then it seems to make a lot of sense. Somebody who pursues and runs after honor, so do we, you know, just as people in the room, if you take a poll, somebody you notice looks like they want to be honored. Do you honor those types of people?
100%.
Depends how much money they have.
Depends, right? So even if the people who have the money, when you honor them because for the whatever ulterior motives you have to honor them, internally, are you honoring them? No, right? So there is a good point, though. There might be a difference between external honors that perhaps we do for functional purposes, but from an internal honor perspective, to look up to somebody, to hold them in high esteem, usually the people who are running after that, most of the population doesn't really look up to that. So we might all intuit this to some extent. But we're going to delve into this, try to understand it a little bit more in depth. And in order to do that, we're going to start with the Abarbanel, and then we're going to do something a little different than we've done until this point. And I will elaborate on that after we finish the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel is going to be the only primary source in terms of its running commentary on Pirkei Avos that we're going to do. And I'll elaborate on what we're going to do after that when we get there. So page number one, source number one, the Abarbanel says as follows. Ezehu mechubad hamechabed es habrios. The inyan zehamaimer hu ha anvas nus, right? What's the essence of this message in one word? Humility. Humility. Somebody who honors other people is showing that they are humble. Ki mishe mashpil atzmo, somebody who puts himself lower, hu mechashev shechavero yoser tov mimenu. So now we're already getting a little bit more into detail here. What does it mean to honor somebody? To honor somebody means to, according to the Abarbanel, lower yourself and lift your friends. So I don't know if I would have had to say that. To show somebody honor doesn't necessarily mean that I have to lower myself, but that's how the Abarbanel is understanding it. I am being humble, lowering myself, and more importantly for now, is that I'm looking for how my friend is doing things better than me. That's pretty interesting. How does my friend do things better than me? That's how I am showing them honor. So let's keep going before we fully understand this. Ukvar amru b'musrei ha-philosophim. So the philosophers already said the following. Shechasid echad hayim chabedes kol habrios. So there was one pious person who used to give honor to everybody. V'shalu alzeh, they asked him, why are you doing this? V'amar, he explained as follows. Shehaya usekein, v'shvil shelo haya roa ish, shelo haya lo yisron alav. This is a fascinating mindset and perspective. Anybody he saw, he found within them something that that person was better at than he was. If he was wise, or if he had great character, he found within that other person a better element of character, or an additional element of wisdom that he did not have in himself. Im gibor, if it was a matter of strength, o bal koma, or height, o bari mimano, whether he was healthier, hayachoshev shayaze yoser nekshar b'chasto yizbarach, so he looked at these milos, these additional benefits that this person had, and he saw it as grace from God, that there's something that this person did to deserve having this better health, this better life, this better success. Yan chalak lo mitovo yoser mimenu, he gave to this person more than he gave me, and that's because he was deserving of it. That might be a totally different perspective than we might look at things. We might look at things, and if we have a jealous mindset, we might put that other person down. We might look for how we're better than that person. This is the total flip of that. How is this person more deserving, more honored, more better than I am? V'im tsa'ir hu mimenu liyamim. So now let's say we put it in terms of a chronological age here. So this person is younger than me. So I'm looking at this person, he's younger than me, what should my mindset be? Right? So if he's younger than me, it must mean that he's sinned less. Right? Because he has less chance to sin. So now it gets a little more difficult. Okay, so that's when we find in the person something that is beneficial. What if we find within the person something that's damaging? Person's sick, so the person's poor, so maybe I'm better than that. I could, so how am I looking at that? So Shayalo Yoser Hisnatzlos Mimenu, Mimashlo Asa Ba'avodas Boro, Uvidarchet Staka, Leonav Ocholyo. So I look at it, so it's a little bit more hard to understand. How should my perspective be? Yoser Hisnatzlos Mimenu. So what does that mean? A little bit lazier, didn't put in as much effort. So that's a little bit harder to understand. So you want it, the way he's looking at it is it's sort of like Nebuch, right? There must be something that I could do better. There is some sort of deficiency that this person has. It's not really necessarily his fault. So they're trying to basically look into it in a way that doesn't make it sound like I'm so much better, that I've done so much better. But there is some that he's trying hard, let's say. So let's say the person, it looks weaker. Okay, so it's not his fault that he was born this way. It's not his fault that he's short, you know, that he couldn't do anything about that. So we're basically trying to find some level of schus within what this person is to not feel that I'm better than this person. Okay, so that's number one. So number one perspective, and if we don't think this way, maybe it's important to think this way, is that when somebody either has something better than me, it's because they have done something better than me, and when they don't have something better than me, it's because I have been given better gifts from the start. Now, does anybody have any problems with this? Right? Is this the regular way that we're told to think about things, to put ourselves down and to think about other people better than us?
How does it give him honor?
What's the honor here? What are we talking about? So it's a good point. Are we talking about putting the person up in the front of the room?
No.
No, this is all in our mind. This is all a mindset. How do we look at other people? Do we look at other people that I'm better than them? Do we look at other people that I'm worse than them? Now, I could have argued to you that perhaps there's a third option here. What's the third option? That we're equal. Right? It's not a matter of better or worse. Perhaps. But there seems to be something in the Abarbanel that's telling us that no, we should look at ourselves as lower than they are. Now for everybody, and we'll get to this at the end, who's saying, what about my self-esteem? What about the fact that I have to feel good about myself? So we'll get there. Perhaps we'll have to develop it fully over the course of this year. But for now, we'll leave it as a question. Why is it that I'm putting myself down in order to put this person up? Can't we just have it as sort of a level playing field? It's a good question. We'll get there. Yeah, Barry.
I'm not sure if I have this one. I think there's a Gemara about an incident with Rav Elazar who encounters a very ugly person. mercilessly criticizes him until the person responds and said, go criticize the craftsman who made it.
Right.
Right? So maybe the element here is that whatever deficit was seen in the other person is really from,
it's from Hashem. Right. So, but you see how, and we'll elaborate on this a little bit later, he's sort of, if I'm understanding the Barbanel correctly, he's sort of playing at both sides. Right, so if the person is better than me, it's because God gave them more grace because of their benefit of their actions, stuff they've done. If they're not, then I don't then go say, okay, it must be because I'm doing things better. We say that, no, it must be because God created them that way for whatever reason. That's not their fault. So we're trying to make the other person look better no matter what. That's our mindset. We're trying to make the other person look better. So it's either because they've done better or because that's the way God made them, and we can't criticize them or critique them for that.
It's more than that. The extension would be that we are therefore honoring God.
Okay, good. We're honoring God. We'll see that a little bit later on, too, that there's an element of honoring God when we honor people. One last comment, then we're going to keep going. Yeah? One.
Why do you have to pull yourself down?
What's that? So,
somebody else.
So we'll elaborate on that.
More beautiful, smarter. Okay, that's the way it is.
Right.
But
so,
why should you put yourself?
Okay, good question. We're going to elaborate on that as we go on. We'll elaborate on that concept. Okay. So now keep going in the Abarbanel, third paragraph here in source number one. V'yesh mefarshim eze mechubar mechabedes habrios shehakli lo yotze elamashi yesh bo.
So
now it's a different perspective. The perspective is, what does it mean that I'm going to give somebody kavod, and that's going to give me kavod? So it's saying that kavod is a commodity that I could only give if I have it. Right? So let's say I don't have kavod. I'm not an honored person, whatever that means. And then I go and give you kavod. So does that person care that me, not kavod, gives you kavod? No, because I don't have kavod to give to you. It's not like I have it. So we're looking at it from the perspective of what does it mean, ezehu mechubad, who is honored, somebody who honors others. It's only because I can't be considered honored. Right? I can't give honor to others if I myself am not honored. So it's a simon, if you will. It's proof that I'm honored if I'm an honored person if I have the ability to give that honor to others. I can't give you honor if I myself don't have honor. Yeah, Barbara.
So I'm looking at it differently. Not that he doesn't have honor from others, but that he doesn't honor himself.
Okay, so we'll get there too. Okay, so we'll elaborate on all those concepts. Let's keep going now in the Abarbanel. Ki kemoshi yesh anoshim. Right, so what this is something that we might relate to. What do people put other people down? Why do people put other people down? What's the reason? To make myself feel better.
Famous statement in Chazal, Gemara and Kedushin, that somebody who disgraces or puts down somebody else, he's really disgracing the deficiency in himself. It's because I have a deficiency in myself that I'm putting you down.
But it goes on the flip also. So just like when I put somebody down, it must mean that I myself have that deficiency. So too, when I put somebody else up, it must mean that I have that, Barbara, this is exactly what you're saying, that I have that honor within me. I feel that kavod within me that I'm able to give it to somebody else as well. It's hard for me to make somebody else feel good if I don't feel good about myself.
He has an important caveat here. What's that caveat? And so the Mishnah says that I should give kavod. Does that mean I should give kavod to everybody? Does everybody deserve kavod? So perhaps this is something to think about. Do I give kavod to everybody? So there might be people that I shouldn't be giving kavod to. The question is who are those people? So I think in society, right? So if in society, who would you not give kavod to? What would your answer be?
People who don't give kavod to others.
Right? So I would say that there is this sense that's wrong. It's not what this Mishnah is saying, is that there are people who are of a lower class, let's say, or people who have lesser important jobs than we do. So you can't give kavod to them. So I think that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. That's not what the Mishnah is saying. And we'll see that later on with the story with Rav Kook in a moment. What the Mishnah is saying is that there may be some people who are more on the criminal element here who we don't want to give kavod to. You can't give kavod to people who, by giving them kavod, you're either setting a bad example, they don't deserve the kavod. Again, it's a question as to who fits in that category. Well, let's put, like, you know, vicious criminals in that category for sure. And then everybody else, maybe we should side on the, perhaps we should be giving them kavod. But there is a category of people that the Barbanel says that we should not be giving kavod to. Keep going here, fourth paragraph now. Vihine, hafilosof kasa barishon mimidos, shakavod einenu ataklis l'chayei ha'adam. So the philosopher says, in the beginning of his discussion on ethics, Aristotle, that kavod is not einenu ataklis l'chayei ha'adam, it's not the purpose. Our goal should not be to acquire kavod. Achu chitzoni mimenu. This is going to be an important theme that comes up later on. Kavod is external. It's not internal, it's an external quality. Ki hu biyad hamechabdim yoser ma'asher hu b'mechubad. I can't give myself kavod, right? I definitionally, in order to be honored, need to get that honor from other people. And because of that, it's not an internal quality, it's dependent on others, that makes it an external quality. And once it's an external quality, according to the ethics of Aristotle, that makes it automatically not an end unto itself. If it's external, if it's not internal, it can't be on the highest level. It must be a secondary quality. So keep going here. Gam ki mashiya biyad hazulas hu bekalus biyuser, v'atov amiti hu asher bekoshi yusar. V'amar od ki drisha sakavod hu laman asher yira roim, l'fisha kavod hu hachnas ha'anashim, l'ish ma'la'os l'siman shlei muso. So kavod shows that if I give kavod to somebody, it means that it's a sign that this person deserves it. Hine im kein hu me'advarim asher lo yichaspum ba'avur atzmam, kim ba'avur ha'mayla asher yoru aleh. So kavod is not something that we seek for the sake of the kavod, but we seek the shleimus, if you will. We seek the perfection. We give kavod to people who deserve the kavod. We don't care about the kavod. We care about doing the things that get us kavod. It's a nuanced point here, in the sense that let's say learning Torah, and let's say in an ideal world, somebody who knows a lot of Torah, somebody has great midos. Let's say that gives us kavod. It's the way it should be, right? Somebody who behaves nicely, does a lot of mitzvahs, learns a lot of Torah, that gives kavod. I should want to do those things because that is what is the right thing to do. Right? The learning, the good midos, is what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, kavod might come from that if we set up, hopefully, a society where we honor things that are important to honor. Right? So they go hand in hand, but my vision, my purpose, is to do these things because they bring shleimus, because they are supposed to perfect me. If kavod comes out by the wayside, if kavod comes as a side, a side dish to that, then okay, that's not my goal. Right? So my goal is never going to be kavod in its own, and the reason is because kavod is external, it's not something that's internal, and things that are external, comes from other people, can't be on its own something that is essential.
What is kavod anyway?
That's a good question. So we'll elaborate on that also. So far, it's a good question to ask, and maybe we should have asked it at the beginning. What is kavod anyway? So it's a fair question because we started off sort of giving this kavod idea of showing people honor, and then the Abarbanel switched to kavod as being something internal, how I view other people, my mindset towards other people. So we haven't fully answered or developed that question. As we go on, keep that in the back of your head to say. Oh, I'm getting a question on Facebook. Which sefer are you using, please? Okay, I have source sheets. I will try to post them. Right now we're reading in the sefer Nachlas Alvos. I will briefly show it to you. This is not going to help you. But I will hopefully post the sources afterwards, and I'll try to remember next time to post it beforehand. Okay, so now, let us keep that question in the back of your head. How do you define kavod? Let's go to source number two. And this is a story I was referencing, a story from Rav Kook. So Rav Kook, Sichas Avos, Lemaran Haraya, Kook Zatzal Yasapar Kavua, Shayaba Mide Pam Leves Harav Lusapro. So Rav Kook had a barber. And the barber used to come to his house to give him a haircut. Yachso shel Rav Labam Malachto ayam miyuchad v'chen moser oso safar. So the Rav Kook had a great relationship, a special relationship with his barber, and the barber used to say as follows: Hayisi safar shel anashim chashuvim v'nichpadim. I was a barber for many respected and important people. Lo echad mehem shekaragil hayu anashim trudim. Nasanli lachkot ad sheyitpaneh. So everybody was so busy that they always made me wait. I gotta take care of this, I gotta take care of that. They made the barber wait. Lo kein harav zatzal. Rav Kook did not do that. Im kol omes tir dato habaaba im alav. Everything, he was busy. People came to him. He was learning, studying, writing. Hayamit paneh elai miyad. He never made me wait. Af hayam makdishli tsumas lev v'sha'as hes hatisparat hayam misuchach iti. He used to talk to me. He used to give me time of day. He used to make me feel respected, make me feel good. So here's just a story about how somebody who, like Rav Kook, is not too busy for anybody, no matter what the person's profession is. Even if you're paying him, it doesn't matter. You treat them with respect. You treat them like they're people. You treat them like they have something to, going back to the first session, right? I learned from everybody related to that concept. Everybody has something to offer. So now, flip the page, and what we're about to do is four snippets from what I would call secondary sources. So usually what we've been doing until this point is focusing on running commentaries on Pirkei Avos. So on Pirkei Avos, as we've mentioned in the past, there are commentaries that deal specifically, you open the page, they're on, like they're commentaries on Pirkei Avos. Another way to learn Pirkei Avos, it's a little bit harder because it's not as organized, but another way to learn Pirkei Avos is to see how other Sfarim that aren't about Pirkei Avos, but use the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos. Because right, people use Pirkei Avos not just as a commentary on Pirkei Avos, but they could write a book, and in that book, they will quote something from Pirkei Avos. Right, so if we look at those types of books, it might give us a different perspective. It's not a running commentary on Pirkei Avos, but it's a secondary perspective using Pirkei Avos to teach a broader lesson. You know, to give you an example, let's say you know the rabbi gives a drasha, so he gives a drasha and he'll quote Pirkei Avos. So is he giving a running commentary on Pirkei Avos? No. He's talking a drasha about a big topic and he uses Pirkei Avos to prove a point. So this is the equivalent of something along those lines. Later Sfarim that use ideas from Pirkei Avos to prove a point, and we're going to see four Sfarim. Each of them is from a certain type of perspective, and that's the Musar movement. So we're going to start with the I didn't label them, but if you just flip a page, on the top of the page is called the Or Yisrael. It's the first source on the second side of the first page. The Or Yisrael is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I gave you a brief bio here, is 19th century rabbi, who's the father of the Musar movement. So as a whole, you could give a whole lecture, a whole series on exactly Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's life, what he did to push the Musar movement. But the Musar movement, in brief, is a 19th century movement started by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to emphasize the learning of ethics, to emphasize the learning of Yirah Shamayim, fear of heaven, where if you were in yeshiva, or even if you were just in a normal population in back in the 19th century, they didn't emphasize this enough, apparently. In yeshiva, you learned Gemara, and you learned Gemara, and you learned a little more Gemara, and then you learned a little more Gemara. And that was basically it. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, if you look at that, okay, you're learning Gemara, Gemara is great, but there was a disconnect between the learning of the Gemara and then what he thought was a deficiency of character in some of the people who were studying in yeshivas. So just because you're learning Gemara doesn't mean you're going to be able to internalize the concepts, the meanings, the messages, the ethics, the morals of the Gemara. So he thought that it was essential to have a movement that emphasizes specifically working on how to internalize the ethics and the morals of the Gemara and of Tanakh, Torah, etc. So this was his big life goal, and to a certain extent it worked tremendously, and now in every yeshiva you have some level of Musar shmuz. Somebody gives a Musar talk, focus on ethics, maybe not as much as Rousseau Salanter might have wanted, but that was his goal. So now, in his famous Sefer, the Or Yisrael, he talks about the following point, and he's going to quote our Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, and I think this point is essential to self-growth in general, no matter what we're talking about. And it creates a dichotomy, a tension, if you will, something that's been in the background of many Mishnayos and ideas and lessons that we've been learning until this point. So let's see what I'm talking about. So Or Yisrael, top of the page. V'ayoser kaved bebechinas atikon hu bedavar amidos. Ki zeh klal gadol b'midos. This is an essential aspect of character. What is that? Sherov midos hatovos, most of the good character traits, hema rak b'mesh nogea l'ha'adam ba'atzmo. This is so important. Character growth, the messages, the lessons that we're learning, for the most part, are for my own self growth. What does that mean? Achein b'mesh nogea l'chaveiro. When it comes to how I treat others, hachov l'shtamesh b'chol oz b'hafucha. Then I have to look at the exact opposite perspective. And I'll give you an example of how this plays out. But the way I treat and learn and understand how to treat myself is going to be the opposite of how I treat others. Kimo. And here's the paradigmatic example. Livroach min hakavod hi mida yikara. To run away from honor. I don't want honor. Kimama ramzal ki tavas hakavod totzias adam min haolam. As it says in Perkei Avos, different... Mishnah we'll get to, that kavod removes you from this world. So that's the pursuit of kavod removes you from this world, and that's bad, right? We don't want to pursue kavod. It's a bad taiva, if you will. It's a bad, well, taiva is the wrong word, but we'll get to it when we get there. But it's a bad thing to pursue kavod. When it comes to my friend, Amru Razal, Eze Mechubad HaMechabed HaSabrios. So I don't get it. You're telling me kavod is terrible. Kavod is bad. Don't run after honor. But then we're learning in this Mishnah, what should I be doing when it comes to my friend? Honoring them. Isn't that lifnei iver? Right? If I honor them, then they're going to like honor, and then they're going to get really, you know, gaivadik, and they're going to be arrogant. So here, this is the tension. For myself, honor is bad. Run away. Don't want honor. For other people, give them as much honor as possible. It's the opposite. Right? It's the opposite. Well, hold on. So now, keep going. Precious. Asheri malan is gabal of livnei aliyah. So staying far away, we've talked about this over and over again. Rabbi Kiva said that precious is a nedar misyag l'precious. A running theme throughout the entire Mishnayos is that it's good not to eat too much or not to give in to too many taivas. You want to stay away from fulfilling physical gratification. He rak bebechinas adam latzmo, but that's only for yourself. Aval bemesh nogele toelis vanas chaveru, for your friend. Hachov prushal ishtamish hefech ha'precious. Go the exact opposite. They come over, don't say like, listen, all I'm giving you is a piece of chicken. I'm going to, you know, portion control. I'm going to put it out. I'm going to give you, you know, one thigh, one, you know, three green beans. That's right. Three green beans. I really want you to eat healthy. And not only do I want you to eat healthy, I want you to get more precious as such. I just learned to draw in the shear that it's good to stay away from physical gratifications. I can't serve you any dessert. I can't do it. No, give them. Right?
Yeah.
Give them everything. I want to make sure you have a good life. I want to make sure everything you want, all your desires are taken care of. The same thing with everything. And you got one more example here. Humility. It's the best midah to be humble. And what does it mean to be humble? To lower you. Go back to the barbanel. To lower yourself. To put yourself down. Well, I have to understand that also. Hachov l'shtamish ba'ad katzei acharon. Like it says in the Gemara in Sota. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov lo minav lo min. Says I don't want any part of being arrogant. I want to run away from it. Like the Rambam says. Kasher biar Rambam a Mishnah ma'od ma'od avishva ruach. Another Mishnah we'll get to. Be very, 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 very humble. Chalila chalila l'shtamish b'vida azu al chaveru. Do you do that to your friend? For yourself, put yourself down. Again, we'll have to do it in a healthy way, figure out what that means. We'll elaborate on that. Your friend, you have no right to say, listen, you know, I see you're getting a little bit arrogant here. I got to put you in your place. You have no right to do that. You have no right. Again, if you're a mentor, if you're a parent, maybe there is a place for that. But in terms of general rules, your friend, it's not your job to make your friend humble. It's not your job. It's your job to make yourself humble. It's your job to make your friend feel as good as himself as possible. So what you have here is, I believe, a fascinating tension. And maybe it's not fair, but we take personal responsibility for ourselves, We have to work on ourselves and do the exact opposite when it comes to our friends. We want to shower them with everything that's good for them. For ourselves, we deprive. For them, we give them. For ourselves, we run away from honor. From them, we give them honor. It's this tension that is going to be, I think, sort of overarching to the general midos. And if we track this as we go through Perkei Avos, or if we go back and do Chazar, I think we'll see that this plays out. Yeah, Barbara.
I'm not sure if this applies, but Kol Yisrael aren't you sort of required if you see somebody doing something wrong, or is this not the same?
There's a concept of rebuke. There's a concept of giving people, putting them on the right path. That's true. And that's what I sort of gave the exception that, David is critiqued for not giving his son a little bit of rebuke, and that's why he goes and thinks he's the king and won. Right, so there is an element that there is a place for some of us, for some people, as a role of mentor, as a role of teacher, as a role of parent, to guide and to... I would say you'd have to do that not in a way that puts people down also, but there is a place for that. As a general rule, we're saying that this is the operating principle. The operating principle is that you try to make people feel good about themselves. Not that they're sinning. You don't say, "Oh, good job. I'm so proud of you." But there is a general operating principle here. Okay, so that's lesson number one from this Mishnah, from the secondary source of the Or Yisrael. Let's go to lesson number two. It's the Das Torah. I gave you a little bit of a snippet of his biography too. Rav Yerucham Alevi Lubavitz, also known to his 100 students simply as the Mashkiach, was a famous Mashkiach, Ruchani and Baal Musar, Jewish ethics, at the Mir Yeshiva in Belarus. Okay, so it was the Mir... Yeah, so Shana Ba'avos, here we go. Ben Zoma Omer, our Mishnah. Ezu Chacham Lomed Mikol Adam. Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Yisro. Ezu Asher Yasameach B'chalko. Ezu Mechubad HaMachabed HaSabriyo. So he quotes our Mishnah, middle of the third line. Rabu Asha'elos Bezua Mishnah. There are many questions when it comes to the Mishnah. V'kfar Pam Dibarnu Al Zeba Arucha, and we've already spoken about it at length. And then he stops talking. No, just kidding. And we're going to talk about it again. Right? V'ayim B'sefer Derech HaChaim the Maharal. And he quotes the Maharal. So originally I had the Maharal on the source sheet, but I thought this was a better way of presenting it. I like how he packages it. As we've seen in the past about the Maharal is lengthy at times. The Maharal repeats himself at times. This is a nice summary and application of the Maharal's principle. But just remember, what he's about to say is already sourced in theory in the Maharal. So Ben Zomim Magid, Lanu, Bezes Sod Nifla. So he's putting all of our Mishnah together. All four things together. What's the message? This beautiful secret of Ben Zomim. Ki Adam, fifth line, Yeshlo Bo Uva'atzmo Kol HaMailos Bilti Talui Klal Ba'Acherim. Our ability to perfect ourselves is completely internal. Internal. Personal responsibility. It's all within me. I can do it myself. It is not dependent on others. If it was dependent on others, then it automatically, remember what the Abar Benel said, that makes it external. This is all within me. Va'adaraba. Shleimusan shel hamailos heinan davka kishabayim bekoach atzmiu. So it's not just that it's not dependent upon others. It's that that's the way it has to be. The only way to perfect yourself is that if you do it through internal characteristics. Uvare'e kama gadol umakev hu zeakoch. Look how powerful this idea is. Ilu haisa mailos achach matluya b'mesiras hamalamed. If wisdom was dependent on the teacher. Imkain kishaloi yalo malamed anar chasa legamre. Hanau chasa legamre. Beipos eshleimos malos. Let's say I can't get a teacher. Or my teacher's bad. So that what? Give up? Throw up my hands? Can't do anything? Abah halomed mikol adam. That's why we have to learn from everybody or anybody. Arei uowe v'chachma ba'atzmo. It's I love wisdom in itself. B'mayla ba'atzmo hi. My love of wisdom is internal. Right, so wisdom isn't based on teachers. Wisdom is based on internal love, wanting to learn from everybody, keeping an open mind to be able to seek out wisdom from wherever it comes from. And that's what perfection of wisdom is. Shlomo HaMelech Amar, he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. Let's skip a few lines here. He's elaborating on the Chachma. And now it's around five lines after that first word on the line is Ma'alos HaGevura. So he's saying, Ima'alos HaGevura. So that's about wisdom. What about strength. If strength was tluya benitzchunos alacherim, if strength was dependent on how I can defeat or destroy or conquer others, then automatically what is it? Then it's external, it's dependent on others, me beating them. Im kein ma'ya kisha sheni yoser gibor mimenu. Let's say I can't beat them. So then definitionally, if it's dependent on others, it can't be my way to perfection. Im kein efo hishlemos kiburaso. The other person is stronger than me. Aval, hakovish es yitzro. If we redefine strength as being, conquering our inclinations, hinei ze gvura amitis, ito talin velo ta'adir imenu lo'olam, hua shalim v'vadai. That's true strength. That's always internal. That I can't say is dependent on somebody else. That I can do on my own, and that's why that is what's considered true strength. Gam, ashirus ma'alihi. Same thing about wealth. Right, so if wealth, if people are going to steal everything, they're going to take away my wealth, so that's dependent on somebody else. It's based on me, it's internal. And that's why we define wealth as being happy with what I have, because that's internal, that's up to me, that's not dependent on anybody else. And finally, with kavod, if kavod was dependent on you giving it to me, let's say they say, no, I don't want to give you kavod. So then you're going to say, so therefore I can't have kavod. Kavod's external. That can't be. So you're going to depend on others. They're not going to give it to you. You're going to be a disgrace. Right? If kavod was based on other people, if that's what it really meant, then we'd be in trouble. What's considered essential, truthful, authentic kavod? If I give it to others. Why? Because that is dependent on me. Hine kane akavod es navsho, baruch hu b'chol mikol kol, v'akol yesh lo v'atzmo, b'l'til toli klab b'zlaso. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It's all dependent on me. And that's the main message. My growth is dependent on me. Stop blaming others. Stop saying it's their fault. Stop saying it's my parents' fault. Stop saying it's my kids' fault. Stop saying it's anybody's fault. That's not going to get you to self-growth. Self-growth, at the end of the day, is going to be all dependent on me. You. Me. Right? It's all about me. Taking that personal responsibility, once we give that over to others, if we give our growth over to others, we're taking a big risk that we will not be able to get it, and definitionally, we will definitely not be able to fully fulfill that growth. Yeah, very, very essential message that I think pervades most of Pirkei Avos, but for sure in this Mishnah comes clear. Idea number three. Ale Shur. This is your second page. If you don't have it, please look out for it. We have extra copies here. Ale Shur. Whoops. Sorry. Ale Shur is Revolvi. Okay, so a little bit of a snippet from his biography. He actually has a fascinating... We did a full biography again, it would take a while, but just a little snippet from Wikipedia here. Rav Shlomo Volbe, born Wilhelm Volbe in 1914, April 25th, 2005, died not so long ago, was a Haredi rabbi born in Berlin in the early part of the 20th century. He is best known as the author of Ale Shur, which we're about to read, a Musar classic discussing dimensional growth as it pertains to students of the Talmud. Died in Jerusalem 2005. So Shlomo Wilhelm Volbe was born in Berlin to Eugene and Rosa Volbe. He was raised as a secular Jewish home and received his education at the University of Berlin in the early 1930s. During his university studies, he became a Baal Tshuva through the efforts of the Orthodox Students Union. After university, he attended the Hildesheim Rabbinical Seminary. He continued to study at Rabbi Bosco's yeshiva in Switzerland. He then attended the Mir Yeshiva in Poland, where he became a student of the Mashgiach Ruchani, Rabbi Ruchel Lubavitz, who was the person we just read his sefer from previously. So there's a connection here between the Musar movement. Students become, you know, the teachers teach the students, and then the students write beautiful books for us as well. Ale Shur is an awesome two-volume set, and they're also now recently publishing his Sfarim on Chumash as well. Those are coming out now. So what does Rav Volbe say about kavod? And Barbara, this is going to get to what you alluded to before. So kavod, Rav Volbe says, Eino inyan shel nimus v'derech eretz. It's not about ethics. Kavod is not about ethics. El hakara v'gilui malas hadavar. What's the definition? What's the definition of kavod according to Rav Volbi? It is recognition of how great or the essence of what something is. Kishani mechabed adam. What does it mean that I honor somebody? Hinani megale es ma'alaso v'chashivuso le'ein kol. By honoring somebody, I am recognizing and uncovering the essence, the goodness of what that person is to all. Kishani mechabed talmud chacham. Hinani makir magale kedushas ha'torah. So when I honor a talmud chacham, what am I uncovering? What am I uncovering? What am I honoring? The beauty of Torah. Kishani mechabed es Hashem yisbarach. When I give honor to Hashem. I'm recognizing, I'm uncovering that there is nothing else besides God. We're not talking about some abstract philosophical principle here. Ella, what does Hashem want from us? What does the Torah want from us? Kavod. Kavod is not philosophical, it's not abstract, it's very concrete. Shezeu ha-gilui v'zeu ha-kara b'leiv v'maisa. It is uncovering, it is recognizing, both in mind as well as in action. Uvekoach ma'anachnu yicholum l'chaved. What gives us the power to give honor? Bekoach ha-neshama shehihi metzius shel kavod. What it gives us the ability to honor others? It's the fact that we ourselves have a soul. We ourselves have our neshama, which is the essence and the source of honor. Shizuhi pu'ulasai karis. This is what the soul, the essence of the soul is. L'chabed ulegalos ramamus habore, ramamus ha'adam, ramamus ha'tor v'atam al-chacham. The essence of our soul is to uncover the greatness of God. And what does that mean? That's kavod. I'm uncovering the kavod of God. That's what the soul does. I'm uncovering the ramamus ha'adam, the greatness of others, of human beings, as well as the greatness of Torah and those who study it. Hare zuhi avodasa ufulasa shel ha'neshama ba'olam. This is the essence, the goal, what everything that the neshama is supposed to do is to do this. Legadel, leromeim, ulechabe. Right, so what he's basically doing here is he's upping the ante. Right? Kavod now isn't just about honoring people. Kavod is the goal of the soul. Right? It's the goal of the world, is to uncover, is to give honor. So we'll elaborate a little bit more. And then he says, this is what it says in Pirkei Avos. Ve'eze mechubad ha-mechabed es ha-brios. Kishiroim sha'adam mechabed es ha-brios. When we see people honoring others. Makir. U'migaleh ma'alaso shel kol echad ve'echad. He is uncovering, he's revealing the greatness of each and every individual. Roim shenishmaso po'eles v'chaya bekirbo. What am I uncovering? I'm uncovering the other person's neshama. I'm uncovering the greatness of his soul. And by doing that, what else? What am I doing by definition? I'm honoring myself as well. How am I honoring myself as well? Because I have the same soul. We all have that soul that we're uncovering. So by me uncovering your soul, I'm definitionally uncovering my soul as well. If I put down and I lower and I look for faults, Eino nosen l'nishmaso lif'ol bekirbo, ora eino me'ir lo, v'atzlo eino mechubad. Then I'm doing the opposite. I'm not uncovering the neshama. I'm covering the neshama. I'm hiding the neshama. That's the opposite of kavod. Mechubad kilomar nishmaso shel adam zem mechabedes oso. It's my neshama which gives me this honor. V'zocha l'romumus v'salus atzmis. And that allows me to rise up. And this internal growth, this internal rising, better word for that somewhere, umizgala bekirbo or eloki, and I'm uncovering this light of God, misoreres bo midos tovos hamevios lamasim tovim eviros lo hasagos amitios. This is uncovering the good midos that comes to good actions, and I'm uncovering, I'm shedding light onto what's true and to what's essence to human beings, and that is the neshama. So kavod here is uncovering other people's neshamas by looking for the good that they do. And by doing that, I'm also uncovering the good in my neshama as well. And I think this broadens, this builds, this expands what we've been talking about until now. This is, what does honor mean? It doesn't mean putting somebody up in the front of the room and saying, well, thanks for giving a lot of money. It could mean that, but it doesn't automatically mean that. It means putting up somebody in the front of the room and saying how great they are and how awesome they are that they're giving so much tzedakah, or how awesome they are that they're learning so much Torah, or how awesome they are that they're giving so much chesed, because that is uncovering the neshama, which is what fuels and is allowing them to do all of that. Barry, Barbara, and then we're going to read the last source. Yeah?
So when we make bracha, we see a model. We say shachalah, nechodah, rasa medah.
So the bracha that we say on a king, that Hashem gives part of the kavod to the king, it could be the neshama. I would say you could definitely understand it based on a neshama-oriented idea. Whether or not we can't also understand the term kavod as being this sort of glory and honor that we give to people of greatness or people of stature, it's not mutually exclusive necessarily. I mean, you could look at that as there is an element of kavod to that. It might not be the essence of kavod, but within that is also this type of kavod. Right? So, I think so. Yeah, Barbara, then we're going to do the last source.
I was just wondering, what is the correlation between kavod, giving kavod, and
hakarat? That's what he just said, is that there definitely is a connection, because hakarat tov is recognizing, uncovering the goodness in other people. So when you give gratitude, you are in essence giving kavod as well. Yeah, I would say that's true. Okay, second to last source, but we'll see how much time we have. So last source, if we don't have time, the Sichos Moser of Chaim Shmulevitz, a brief biographical snippet. Again, from Wikipedia, Rav Chaim Leva Levi Shmulevitz, 20th century, 1902 to 1979. Also spelled Shmulevitz, if you want, Hebrew Shmulevitz, was a member of the faculty of the Mir Yeshiva for more than 40 years in Poland, Shanghai, and Jerusalem, serving as Rosh Yeshiva during its sojourn in Shanghai from 1941 to 1947, and again in the Mir Yeshiva in Jerusalem from 1965 to 1979. He taught, guided, and inspired thousands of disciples throughout his lifetime by word and deed, with legendary diligence and intensity in Torah study. And he has a beautiful sefer called Sichos Musar. I highly recommend it. We've quoted to you in the past, I believe. Art School has a translation. It's not an exact translation, but it's a sort of like a summary type of translation in English. That gets the main points of most of the speeches, but the Hebrew is a beautiful sefer with many, 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 many very important and essential ideas. And here, I believe, is one of them. And what he's going to do, again, he's going to use this Mishnah in Perkei Avos, but he's going to expand it for us. He's not writing a commentary on Perkei Avos. He's trying to broaden a larger idea. And by doing that, he's also expanding what we're learning about in Perkei Avos. So v'nidaber ata, this is an excerpt, so there's a broader theme that's going on here, but I think this encapsulates the message. V'nidaber ata me'inyan kavod habrios. This piece that he's writing about is about kavod habrios. What's kavod habrios? So kavod habrios doesn't just mean honoring other people. That might be part of it, which we'll see, but when you know the term kavod habrios from a halachic sense, let's say, what's kavod habrios? Okay, maybe standing up for somebody who's older, but what else? Kavod habrios, right? So let's say
proper behavior,
treating people in the right way, treating people with respect, not embarrassing people is a big part of kavod habrios. So let's see what he says here. So when Dabar to me in kavod habrios, ki ahava v'shalom bein adam l'chaveru v'inyan kavod habrios echad heim v'tzluyim heim ze bezeh. So now he's going to say love and peace between people is essential to kavod habrios, and they're interconnected. Second paragraph, Amar HaKasuv, the pasuk says, v'yisein avayar v'hine shlosha nashim mitzavim alav v'yar v'yar tzlikrasam. So who are we talking about? Avram sees these three people, three angels, three sojourners. Medrash Rabba Sham, The Medrash Rabba says when Avram sees them, Amar Avram, Im ani ro'eh sheshchina mamtenas aleihem, ani yodea shehem b'nei adam gidolim, ve'im ani ro'eh osan cholkin kabod elu le'elu, ani yodea shehem b'nei adam mehuganim, ve'kevan shera'a otam chalukin kabod elu le'elu, yada shehem b'nei adam mehuganim.
So the fact Avram's, his sign that these people were quality individuals was the fact that they respected each other. The fact that they respected each other showed Avram that these were worthy individuals. So it says Vayar twice because he saw two things. Number one, he saw that they were Adam Gedolim because the Shechina was Mamtenas Aleihem, and then that they were Adam Mehuganim, they were worthy people, they were well-behaved people because they gave honor to each other. Right? So giving honor to each other is the sign that they are good people. Third paragraph. Medivrei Chazal Elu. Lemeidim anu shi'itakin adavar she'adam gadol kol kach ad she'shchina mamtenas alav. Right, so if you split these two things, remember it says Vayar twice. He saw twice. He saw two things. He saw that the Shechina was waiting for them, and he saw that they gave kavod to each other. But if you pause and you stop and you think about it, and this is what Chaim Shmulevitz does over and over and over again. He takes simple midrashim and he says, think about it. Take a step back. What are we saying? In what we're saying is such a powerful message. Because let's say he sees that God is Mamtena Shechina, that God's waiting for them. That doesn't automatically mean that they're good people. It's mind-boggling. Again, there's two aspects here. There's that the Shechina's waiting for them, and then that they're treating each other nicely. So let's read this inside. Medivrei Chazal Elu lemeidim anu she'itakin adavar she'adam gadol kol kach ad she'shchina mamtenas alav. He's such a great person, so much respect. The Shechina is waiting for them. V'dayan yesopik b'davar imu adam hagun. But we're still not sure, are they going to treat each other nicely? V'loya Avraham Avinu ratz likrasam af b'roso Shechina mamtenas alav. If he saw that the Shechina was waiting for them, then Avram wouldn't have ran. He would have said, no, they're not nice people. I'm not going to run. Kol ol bo'ayah mitbarer etzlo ki milvad gadlusam heim gam b'nei adam huganim. I still need proof that they're nice people. U'b'nei adam huganim ayinu b'nei adam m'chabdim elu le'elu. That they treat each other with respect. It's a mind-boggling concept. Now, we have to think about it. So what does that mean? That why is God waiting for them if they're not nice to each other? So that's something to deal with. But at least from our perspective, we understand it. Just because somebody looks like they're such big, you know, machers, they know everything, they're so respected, but they don't treat each other nicely, then Avram wouldn't have ran for you. Avram wouldn't have cared for you. He said, okay, nice, you know a lot of Torah, nice, you're such a, you know, too bad. I don't care. Let's keep going. Vishaninu ba'avos. Now he ties it into our Mishnah. Ben zoma omer eze mechubad mechabed asabrios. Lo amar ben zoma eze mechubad gaon o tzadik. Ben zoma doesn't say who's somebody who's honored, somebody who's a genius, or somebody who's righteous. Notice, that's essential. The person could be a good person. He could be a righteous person. The person could be a Talmud Chacham, know all of Shas and Tanakh, backwards, forwards. That's not who we respect. We don't respect that person. Don't take that out of context. But that's not what the Mishnah is telling us. The essence of respect is not about how smart you are, or even how righteous you are. Ela ha-mechabed es-habrios. It's because you respect other people. V'chein amru chazal, lama nikra kadosh baruch hu melech ha-kavod. Why is God called the King of Honor? Shehu chole kavod l'reyev. Because God gives honor to those who respect him, to those who fear him. Ketzad, melech basar v'dam, ein rochem al susov, ein yoshem al kiso, v'kadosh baruch hu hoshev l'shamo al kiso. God gives up his own kavod, as it were. As Barry pointed out, the bracha says that he gives up his own kavod. That's pretty powerful. God gives up his own honor. We too give away our own honor, and that's how we ourselves become honored. Last paragraph. The Yoser Mizeh, even more so, building the point even more. Matina b'Gemara Erevin, the Gemara says, Sha'amru ki lekach zachu beisil shi'ikvu halacha kemosam. There's a very famous Gemara that says, we have so many, we did this 2 years ago already, machlokes beis hillel and beis shammai. You have so many disputes between beis hillel and beis shammai. Who do we follow? Beis Hillel. Why do we follow Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says one of the reasons that we follow Beis Hillel is Mipnei shayu shonin divrayim v'divrei Beis Shammai. They would learn their own thing and they would learn the other Beis Shammai's thing also. V'lo od elisha hayu makdimin divrei Beis Shammai l'divrayim. They would speak out Beis Shammai's point first. We don't do this. When we talk, we have enemies, we have disagreeers, we have people who hate us. That's a little strong for Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. But when we have somebody who we so disagree with, we don't give the time of day to them. We don't respect their opinion. We don't consider their opinion. We put it down. The reason why we follow Beis Hillel is because they didn't do that. They honored Beis Shammai. Chazinam ki mechabed es abrios lo rak shenikra mechubad. When I honor other people, it's not just that then, okay, I'm called honored. Elishu zoche gam lasuke shmais aliba dehilchasa. We follow the halacha based on that principle. That principle of giving honor to others drives our halachic decision making as to why we follow Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. Ki kavod abrios hu maila hamashlima es ha'adam b'chol ha'shleimos. Honoring others and giving respect to others is what brings shleimos to us. So here again, I think we're broadening this idea. This idea of mechabed es abrios is bigger than just giving honors. This is peace. This is how we interact with people. This is the essence of what love and peace and unity is all about, is giving honor to others. We don't care about honor for tzaddikim. We don't care about honor for Gaonim. We care about honor only for those who give away their own honor. That is the criteria for honor. We'll briefly read the last point. I think it sums up in a more modern Musar type of idea. It's from Rabbi Abraham Twersky. He puts language, contemporary language, of how we talk about self-esteem and the like into the concepts of this Mishnah. So he says, I have frequently discussed the various maneuvers that may be employed by a person who lacks self-esteem. One of them is to belittle others. And we saw this explicitly in the other commentaries that we saw, whereby one may then feel that he is superior to them. This is obviously a desperate defense mechanism, and it is clear that someone who utilizes this must be so lacking in self-respect that he must resort to this. Right? So if I put down other people, it means that there's something lacking in me. Another mechanism employed by people with low self-esteem is to pursue acclaim from others. This may lead them to do worthwhile things, but does little to enhance their self-esteem. I was consulted by a patient whose drive to receive recognition resulted in his overtaxing himself. He was the chairman of various community activities in addition to being a busy executive. He said, I have an entire wall in my home covered with testimonials, trophies, and awards, but they mean nothing to me. Trying to overcome self-esteem by receiving acclaim may provide only temporary relief. A person who has good self-respect is not dependent on others to honor him. In fact, he is very comfortable in honoring others, and this does not pose any threat to his self-esteem. You may be sure that a person who speaks Lashon Hara is a person with low self-esteem, else he would not have any need of belittling others. Right? So the idea here is that if I feel good about myself, if I feel good about my own neshama, I'm very ready, happy, and able to uncover the goodness and the greatness in other people as well. I don't necessarily have to, as the Abarbanel said, put myself down per se to get to this idea. Maybe that's one method of doing it. But even if I don't put myself down, I'm just comfortable with who I am, I am very happy to give over some of that kavod and some of that esteem and respect to others. And that is what this Mishnah is teaching us, that by honoring others, that proves that I myself am honored. And that's what brings the most honor, is by honoring others.